The story of Dior is that of Christian Dior. It is also the story of his successors. In their time, their moment, their Dior age. Episode 1, The Dior Age of Yves Saint Laurent.
I have invited you here today with great emotion to announce important news concerning my personal life and my profession. I was lucky enough to become Christian Dior's assistant at the age of 18 and to succeed him at 21.
At the time of his farewell, in 2002, Yves Saint Laurent remembered his beginnings at Christian Dior with his Monsieur Dior, to whom he was then the pretender and of whom he would become the orphan. Let's go back in time to October 24th, 1957.
Haute couture is in mourning. Christian Dior is dead, and his death has created a huge wave of sympathy in the world. The door closed on the house and the flat of Paris leading couturier.
2 months avant de mourir,
2 months before dying,
quand ma mère est venue me chercher au studio, il lui a dit lorsque
he told my mother that I would succeed him.
Sera mon successeur.
It's official now, the house of Dior continues.
Indeed, there's a press conference going on at Christian Dior right now. It's a team made up of Raymond Zenacker, who has always been Christian Dior's closest and most precious collaborator, and Yves Saint Laurent, the young, shy, and modest designer of the house, who will continue the school created and wanted by Christian Dior.
That's really where I learned my trade. I thought that it was enough to know how to draw to be a dressmaker. But when I arrived in Paris, since I had just come from the provinces, I was not. Yves Saint Laurent came from Oran, his province, as he called it, because Algeria was still under French rule at the time. 1936 was the year in which Yves Mathieu Saint Laurent was born. It was the first day of August, a Saturday. Lucien and Charles, his parents, were overcome with joy at the arrival of their first child. His father enjoyed a successful position, he was doing well in insurance, and also running a chain of cinemas in Morocco. The family wanted for nothing, least of all love. But a tragedy lay in store. School. What horrors awaited at the Sacré-Cœur, where in the schoolyard Yves was taunted and humiliated. So he retreated into himself, escaping and travelling in his mind, dreaming up theatre for his paper dolls, and soon, dresses for his mother and two little sisters, Michel and Brigitte. These were his very first creations, made by the local seamstress. But to get that je ne sais quoi that comes only with couture meant that he would have to go to Paris. Yves took a plane for the first time in December 1953, accompanied by his mother. He came to accept his third place prize in the International Wool Secretariat competition. He also took the opportunity to stroll in a part of Paris that made his heart beat that bit faster, Avenue Montaigne. Stopping in front of number 30, the address of the house of Dior, he announced to his mother, "This is where I will be working one day." In the meantime, he met Michel de Bruneuf. By a stroke of good fortune, his father had a friend who knew him. For Michel de Bruneuf was director of the powerful Vogue Paris, a key player in fashion and a close friend of Christian Dior. So de Bruneuf received the young man in his splendid office on Place du Palais Bourbon. Shrinking with shyness, Yves nevertheless showed him his sketches. Michel de Bruneuf was impressed by the young man's drawings, and he told himself that he had not wasted his time in looking at them. To be continued. Yves obtained his baccalaureate, honor roll, then entered the École de la Chambre Syndicale de la Couture Parisienne, the obligatory rite of passage for those seeking to pursue a career in fashion. But he was bored there. School was clearly not for him, especially since he already possessed the talent of a great couturier, and he knew it. The proof lay in the fact that, after having won the third prize the previous year, he now carried off first prize in the International Wool Secretariat competition.
Monsieur Bernard Lafay, président du conseil.
Bernard Lafay, chairman of the city council, presents Yves Saint Laurent from Oran with the prize for the fashion design competition organized by the International Wool Secretariat. With Yves Saint Laurent, a young 18-year-old designer, North Africa scored a point against metropolitan France.
He had come first out of more than 10,000 amateur designers. Now, Yves could return to see Michel de Brunhoff, especially as he had new drawings to show him. This time, the director of Vogue had his doubts. He wondered if these sketches were really his own. So closely did they resemble those of his friend Christian Dior, who was in the process of preparing his winter 1955 collection at the same time. How was it possible? De Brunhoff was surprised, and Dior was astonished once he saw the sketches by this stranger named Yves-Mathieu Saint-Laurent. He hired him. On June 20th, 1955, Yves entered the Holy of Holies, the studio. It was 1 month before the unveiling of the collection, which would introduce the brand new line, the Y. A fabulous collaboration ensued between him and Dior, whom he would always call Monsieur. Yves learned the essentials here. He developed and expressed his talents in the collections and their component lines. Flèche, aimant, libre, and fuseau, the last for the winter of 1957. Then there he was, suddenly, without Monsieur, the only one now carrying the Dior mantle.
Who designs these dresses in the house of Dior?
Well, only one person.
Whom is you?
Yes.
And are you happy with this first collection?
I'm not unhappy with it.
Yves-Mathieu Saint Laurent played it low-key and modest, which is not to say that he was lacking in self-confidence that morning. The fateful date was Thursday, January the 30th, 1958, and it would soon be 10 a.m. The hour of the show for the international press, department store buyers, and friends too. Imagine his stress, having to demonstrate that Monsieur Dior was right and that the House of Dior was correct in naming him successor. He couldn't really miss, but how can one when one is a genius, which is what everyone had already dubbed him? And clearly, no one was wrong on that front. The proof came with this collection, the collection, and a show opening with the model Odile wearing the first look, called Trapèze.
Trapèze.
The name announces the mood, or rather the line of the collection. Svetlana was in a grey wool dress, topped with a bota trimmed in lily of the valley. Who knows why Yves named it Bonne Conduite, which cryptically translates as good behaviour.
Bonne conduite.
The audience applauded, particularly so Edmond Charleroux, the editor-in-chief of Vogue Paris, who decided that this was the look that would grace the cover of the March issue devoted to the new collections. Furthermore, that issue opened with the famous image of Yves surrounded by photographers on the balcony. Such a thing had never been seen during Monsieur Dior's time.
Allô, Liselina.
Yes, I'm here, but not very comfortable. I had to hide on the balcony because Yves Saint Laurent was so caught up in the crowd. He can't get through. He can't get onto the balcony, so I have to get in myself. I don't know if you can hear the rumors of the crowd, but we are absolutely squeezed like sandwiches. Yves Saint Laurent, I'm going to ask you an absolutely trivial question first. What impression does this huge success make on you?
I am very moved. I'm also very happy. But I'm very moved when I think of Monsieur Dior.
Of course, Yves Saint Laurent never forgot Monsieur Dior. However, he viewed the world in a different way and was now bringing a new look to fashion, his own new look.
There are not so many lines in my collection. That's one of the main facts. Until now, fashion was framed in a purely geometrical form or a more constructed design. Whereas this time, there is a looseness and a suppleness, a naturalness that emerges and that is
more like a search for style?
A search for style, yes. I think that the line is lost in favor of a style.
Femininity, suppleness, and cheerful colors are the spring fashion trends at Christian Dior. The shoulders are free, the jacket is short, the comfortable skirt is 42 centimeters off the ground.
42 centimeters wasn't exactly the miniskirt, but it was getting closer. Yves Saint Laurent designed clothes for young women, the girls of his generation. He looked to the street for inspiration, and his collections were infused with indications of a new future. The 60s. But before that came 1959 and the events in Algeria, where the situation was getting worse.
There is an Algerian entity. It is up to Algerians to decide their own destiny.
General de Gaulle prepared his fellow citizens for the idea of an independent Algeria. War was inevitable. Yves understood that he wasn't going to see Oran, his parents, and his sisters again for a long time. The other twist of fate was military service. He was 24 years old and could be called up at any time. The management of Dior had deferred his enlistment the first time round. But now the evader would have no choice but to do his military service, just like everyone else. Goodbye reprieve, hello harsh reality. On September the 1st, 1960, he was finally called up to enlist, but he ultimately didn't get further than the training camp. He was sent to hospital, suffering from a serious nervous breakdown. With Yves out of action, the House of Dior was in turmoil. Marcel Boussac, its owner, had to find a replacement, otherwise there would be no collection in January. The light of this rising fashion star has suddenly been extinguished, and it heralded the beginning of his end at Dior.
Si cela devait être...
And if that were to be a hostile break, well, we certainly wouldn't try to stay with people who would reject us.
Yves left the Val de Grâce military hospital on November the 14th, except that in the meantime, Marcel Boussac had resolved to temporarily replace him with another creative, Marc Bohan, who until then had been in charge of Christian Dior ready-to-wear in London. And now Bohan was working on the next haute couture collection, set to be presented on Avenue Montaigne in January 1961. But then, what would happen after? What would Marcel Boussac decide? Which one, Yves Saint Laurent or Marc Bohan, would be kept on?
This podcast was brought to you by Maison Dior. Discover the world the house encompasses, from haute couture collections to perfumes, by subscribing to the Dior podcasts, available on all audio streaming platforms.